Shas Illuminated presents the following shiur by Rabbi Avraham Shur. Meseches Yoma has been dedicated by Dr. and Mrs. Robert Goodman, Le'iloi Nishmas, Chaim Menachem Aaron ben Yecheskel Nechemya.
Yuma Daf Lamed Zayin. The Gemara is discussing the nusach that the Kohen Gadol uses in his Vidui on Yom Kippur. And the Gemara says, how do we know that he uses the word ana? The Gemara says that we learn out kapara, kapara, gzeirah shava, from what it says by Moshe Rabbeinu when he asked Hashem for forgiveness by the chet ha'egel. Malalon ba'ana, he used the word ana chata ha'am hazeh, so too over here he used the word ana. Since in both places it uses the term kapara, so we learn gzeirah shava. Uminayin shebeshem, how do we know that you use Hashem's name, meaning that you have to say ana Hashem? The Gemara says, nemer kan kapara, v'nemer be'egla rufa kapara, malalon b'shem, afkan b'shem. The Rambam writes in Perek Aleph, Hilchas Tshuva, Halacha Aleph, Ketzad Misvadim, he explains how does a person do vidui when he wants to do tshuva. Omer ona Hashem chatosi avisi v'shatel fanecha v'asisi kach v'kach v'areini chamti u'boishti b'masai. I have charotten, I'm embarrassed, ulo olam eini chayzol davarzeh. I never will return to these actions. Now, it sounds like he uses the nusach of ana Hashem, even though he's talking about regular vidui. He's not talking about the vidui of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. Actually, the Mechas Chinuch Mitzvah Shin Samach Dalet asks, where does the Rambam get it from? How does he know the FC ana Hashem by a regular person who's misvad? The Gemara only learns this about the vidui of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. Another question we could ask on the Rambam is that in Per Gimel, Hilchas Masi Karbonis, Alochet Ezvav, he says that when a person says vidui on his carbon, he says Ketzad Misvada Oimer Chatosi Avisi Peshati Vasisi Kach Vekach Vechazarti B'Tshuva Lufanecha Vezu Kaparosi. Over there, the Rambam doesn't say on Hashem. So if the Rambam learns that you could learn from the vidui on Yom Kippur to other places, why doesn't he apply it to regular karbonis? So from this second ha'ara, you definitely see that the din vidui ala karbon, when a person says vidui on a karbon, is different than the din vidui that the person has to do as part of the process of tshuva. And I suppose that when a person is already bringing the karbon, we assume that he has already done tshuva in his house, he's already done vidui before bringing the karbon, and in his vidui he said on Hashem, because the karbon is only the last step in the process of his tshuva. That's probably also why when the Rambam talks about the vidui that he says when he brings a karbon, he doesn't mention the fact that the person has to say, like he says in Hilchas Tshuva. Because the vidui that's part of the process of tshuva has to have all the elements of tshuva in it. It has to have vidui, it has to have charata, it has to have kabbalah ala asid. Masha'en kein, the vidui that's done b'shas the carbon is not part of the tshuva process, it's only something that needs to accompany the carbon. That would also answer another question. We know that a person, while he does vidui, he has to do smicha. We already talked about on Daf Lamed Hey whether the din smicha is a din in the carbon or a din in the vidui. But I'll call upon him, assuming that when the person does the smicha, he does it like you're supposed to, b'chol koichai. And during that time that he's doing the smicha b'chol koichai, he's saying the vidui ala carbon, we have a problem. Because there is a halacha that vidui must be done standing up. The Shulchan Aruch paskins this in Aruch Chaim, Siman Tov Reish Zayin, Siv Gimel, and the Makor is the Gemara, later in Daf Hey Zayin Amud Beis, that vidui has to be done mu'umud. Now the Magen Avram says that therefore a person is not supposed to lean while he's doing vidui on something that if you would remove that thing it would fall down. Because that type of smicha is not considered amida, it's considered like yeshiva, like you're sitting. In which case, we have to ask, then how could it be that you do smicha b'chol koichai, which is like yeshiva, because if you remove the animal, at that moment the person would fall down, and yet the person is saying vidui. How does the vidui help? It's supposed to be done by amida. The teretz could be, according to what we just said, that there's a din vidui, that it's part of the tshuva process, that's the halacha that needs to be done by amida. The vidui that's done on regular carbon is a chelik of the carbon, but it's not part of the hilchas tshuva, and it doesn't require amida. So now we can really re-ask the Minchas Chinuch's question in the following form. Why is it that the Rambam, when he sees that our Gemara learns out, there's a special din about the vidui that the Kohen Gadol does on his par, why does the Rambam learn from that din vidui to the din vidui that we know about in Hilchas Tshuva, as opposed to the din vidui that we know about in Hilchas Karban? After all, the vidui that the Kohen Gadol was doing on his par was Vidi al Karban. Now, the truth of the matter is that it's Mavur like the Rambam in the Teres Koinim. Because the Teres Koinim, in the beginning of Ayikra, in the parsha of Par Koin Mashiach, the par that the Koin Gadol would bring if he would be Choyte. And over there it says, V'samach Yodei al Reish HaPar. That a regular Par Koin Mashiach, all year round, needs smicha. And the Teres Koinim darshins, L'rabbis Par Yom HaKippurim L'smicha. That a Par Yom HaKippurim also needs smicha from an extra Riboy Hakra. And Teres Koinim asks, "Valoy dinhu, ma im ze she'ein ta'un shnei viduyin, ve'einoy ta'un ona." The Par Koin Mashiach is a regular carbon chattis and doesn't need two viduyim. You don't have to say viduy twice, and it doesn't need the word ona. Nevertheless, ta'un smicha, it needs smicha. Par Yom Kippurim shu ta'un shnei viduyin, ve'ta'un ona ein adin she'itain smicha. It says beferish that the Par Yom Kippurim needs ona, but other carbonis like the Par Koin Mashiach does not need ona. So the Rambam is 100% right. Other karbonis you see from the Teres Koinim do not need ana. So we just have to ask, though, that if we don't learn all other karbonis from the Par Yom Kippurim, why are we willing to learn out all viduyim from the Par Yom Kippurim? Perhaps we could say that it's not that the Rambam learnt out all viduyim from the Par Yom Kippurim. Rather, we could say very simply, the whole Mekar that you say Ana by the Par Yom Kippurim is from Moshe Rabbeinu. When he was Misvada for Klal Yisrael on the Chet HaEgel, he said Ana. Now the Gemara over here learns out with the Gzeirah Shava that the Vidui that you say on the Par Yom Kippurim also needs Ana. But perhaps all other vidui could be learnt out directly with the Mamatzinu from the vidui of Moshe Rabbeinu. The Par Yom Kippurim needs Gzeirah Shava, and it's not enough to learn out with the Mamatzinu, because one could have argued that the Par Yom Kippurim has a din vidui mehilchas HaKarbon. And we just said that Hilchas HaKarbon you cannot learn out from Hilchas Vidui. Regular viduyim you could learn out directly from Moshe Rabbeinu with the Mamatzinu. So that could be the Yishuv to Mechis Chiruch Kasha. The reason why the Rambam paskins that every Mizvada says Ana is because we learn out from Moshe Rabbeinu directly with the Mamatzinu, and it's only over here that you need to have Gzeirah Shava, because I could have said that it's Mehilchas HaKarbon. We learned in the Mishnah that the Kehanim that were standing in the Azara after the Kohen Gadol said his Vidoy, they would answer after him, Baruch Shem Kvod Malchusei Lo'olam Voed. The Gemara brings down, Tanya Rebbe Yomrik, Yishem Hashem Ekra Havu Gadol Alekeinu. The Pasuk of Kishem Hashem Ekra is what teaches us that you're supposed to answer with Baruch Shem. Amar Lahem Moshe Liyisro, B'shah Shani Masker Shmosh LaKadosh Baruch Hu, at the time that I mention the name of Hashem, Atem Havu Goydel. You're supposed to respond with Baruch Shem Kvay Mechusei La'olam Voed. The Pri Chodesh in Aruch Chaim, Simen Kuf Chof Ches, brings a raya from here, that any time a person hears the Shem Hashem, even if it's not in the context of a bracha, he has to respond, like by saying, Baruch Hu, Baruch Shmoy. Because over here we see that the Kohen Gadol used to be masker the Shem, even though he was not saying it within a bracha, he was just saying Vidoy, nevertheless, everybody else had to answer, Baruch Shem Kvay Baruch Hu Tzilay Lom Voy. However, we can really answer this raya as follows. In the Mishnah Perek Zayin of Tamid, Mishnah Beis, it says that b'Medina, they used to say Birkas Koinim as three separate brachas, and b'Mikdash, in the Beis HaMikdash, it was bracha achas. The reason is because in the Medina, all over, they are allowed to say amen. People answer amen v'avi sholish brachas. U'v'Mikdash ein oinin amen v'avi bracha achas. In the Beis HaMikdash, you never answered amen. Since you didn't answer amen, so that made it into only one bracha, it was not split up. The Rosh over there asks, Vim Toimer, Hari Oina Baruch Shem Kvay Mechus Lelum Voed. You may not say Amen in the Beis HaMikdash, but you certainly respond with Baruch Shem. Answers the Rosh, Kivin the Birkas Kainim, Eina Ki Im Levaruch Es Yisrael. It's not a regular bracha. It's not a bracha where somebody is being Mevaruch Hashem. It's actually a bracha where the Kainim are being Mevaruch Es Yisrael. Loi Hayu Oinin Baruch Shem Kvay Mechus Lelum Voed. You see that the Rosh holds that the only time you really answer Baruch Shem Kvay Mechus Lelum Voed, even in the Beis HaMikdash, is when you hear the Shem Hashem within the context of a bracha. Continues the Rosh, and he asks, why then on Yom Kippur did everybody answer Baruch Shem Kvay Mechus Lelum Voed if it was not done within the context of a bracha? Answers the Rosh, Zehu Mishum Chashivas Hayoim, Shehu Yoim Slicha U'Mechila V'Chapara. Since it was a day of Slicha U'Mechila V'Chapara, therefore they had to respond with Baruch Shem even when they heard the Shem Hashem, not inside a bracha. If that's true, then we could say that la'olam, you don't have to say baruch hu baruch shmoi when you hear the Shem Hashem outside of bracha, and the Pri Chodesh doesn't have a raya from here. From the fact that it says over here that they answer baruch Shem could be because there was something special about Askaras Hashem on Yom Kippur. Of course, if you don't learn like the Rush over there in Tamid, rather like Tosfos in Soita, then you do have a raya to the Pri Chodesh's Yisoid. Because Tosfos in Soita, Daf Mem Amud Beis, asks on the Gemara. The Gemara over there explains, like we mentioned, that the reason why Birkas Kainim in the Beis HaMikdash was one bracha as opposed to all over its three brachas is because Ein Oinen Amein BaMikdash. Rashi explains because Ein Kan B'Mala Hafsik. Asks Tosfos, I don't understand. They said Baruch Shem Kvay Bachusi Loilom Voyed when they heard the Shem, and that's a bigger Hafsik than Anias Amein. Tosfos answers that it could be that they answered Baruch Shem Kvay Mechus Eloi Lom Voed immediately. As soon as they heard the Shem, they responded with Baruch Shem. And they did not wait until the bracha was over. And since they weren't mafsik between one pasuk and the next, it's considered like one long bracha. So we really have a machloikas between Tosfos and the Rosh. What is the machai for Baruch Shem Kvay Mechus Eloi Lom Voed? According to Tosfos, any time you heard the Shem being uttered in the Beis HaMikdash, it was proper to respond immediately with Baruch Shem Kvay Mechus Eloi Lom Voed. And according to the Rosh, it's only when you heard the Shem in the context of a bracha, except for the case of Yom Kippur, that is special because it's a Yom Slicha. According to Tosfos, there's a riot to the Brit Chodesh, and according to the Rosh, there is not. Of course, we're left wondering, what does that mean when the Rosh says that because it was a Yom Slicha V'Chapara, therefore you would respond with Baruch Shem, even though it was not in the context of a bracha? Why does it make a difference, the fact that it was a Yom Slicha V'Chapara? The Rosh doesn't explain this. We can possibly say that the concept of Baruch Shem Kvay Mechus Leilom Voed is a hasoga that the Malachi Ashores have, and generally speaking, we don't have it, which is why we don't say it out loud all year, and on a day like Yom Kippur, which is a Yom Slicha V'Chapor, we become free of Chet, so we are on the Madrega Malachi Ashores, and therefore we don't need what we usually do, namely a bracha, in order to get us to that hasoga in the Beis HaMikdash. It's enough just to have the Haskara itself. The Mishnah says, "Bo loy lemizercha azara letzfein hamizbeach." The Kohen Gadol is about to do the hagrola of the Sor LaHashem and the Sor LaAzazel. In the Torah's Kainim in Parshas Acharei Mois, it says, "Lifnei Hashem Pesach oil moyed ma'amidai b'sharei nikonor achareim lemizerch ufanav lemayriv." It was necessary to be maimid to stand the two seirim by the shar nikner, which was in the mizrach. Their back had to be towards the mizrach ufanav lemayriv. They had to face the Ma'ariv. In the Briskerov, in his Chedushim al Rambam, Hilchos Mechusa Kippurim, he brings from the Teres Koinim that's talking about Hamodas Mitzoyra. The Mitzoyra had to stand, Mishar Nikner, his back had to be to Mizrach, and Ponav L'Ma'ariv had to face the Ma'ariv. And he explains that by Mitzoyra, it says, Lefnei Hashem. From there you learn that his Hamodah had to be with his face towards the Ma'ariv, Lefnei Hashem, because the Shechin is in the Ma'ariv in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And that is the kavana over here as well, that you had to stand the Seirim Lefnei Hashem. So that's why they had to be facing the Ma'ariv. However, what is difficult to understand is that in the Mishnah, Daf Mem Alf Mabez, it says that after the Hagrola, they would take a Lashon Shel Zohoiris and tie it on the Rosh Sarim Shtaleach Ve'amida Kineged Beis Shiluchai. You would stand him Kineged, the place where he was going to be sent away from, which means that you had to turn him around and face him towards the Mizrach. And the question is that it says in the Pasuk by the Sarim Shtaleach, Yamad Chai Lefnei Hashem Lechaper Olav, and the Gemara and Daf Mem Beis Darshins, Ad Mosa Yiyah Zokuk Lamed Chai, how long did you have to make sure that it was Yamad Chai? Ad Shas Matan Domish Shachaver Div Reb Yehuda, Reb Yehuda holds until the other Sarim, the Sarim Lashem, had the Zrik Sadam, because that's the Kapara. So Yamad Chai Lefnei Hashem Lechaper Olav was until after the Matan Dam of the other Sarim. Reb Shimon says, Ad Shas Vid until after the kapara of vidui. So you see from the pasuk that the soyer has to remain lifnei Hashem, yamad chai lifnei Hashem, until either the matan dam or until the vidui dvarim. So why wouldn't you have the same din that it have to be facing the ma'ariv until you would finish one of those two things. Now, it happens to be the Mikdash David in Simchav Dalet Sivkat and Vav has a suffix whether the din of Yomer Chai that you need until the Matan Dam Shel Chaveiroi or until the Vidoy, does that have to be Dafka in the Azara, or as long as he's alive, you have to make sure he's kept alive until the Vidoy Shel Chaveiroi or Matan Dam Shel Chaveiroi? Now, it's definitely mistaver to say, like, based on what we mentioned from the Biskarov, that since it says Lefnei Hashem on the Yomer Chai, so it should have to be in the Azara. The Rabban actually in Chumash, in Parshas Achrei Mois, he says, Gam Achareya Goyrol, even after the Goyrol, Oyem Amidoy Lefnei Hashem, Loimar Shehu Shaloi, to demonstrate that it is Hashem's, Ve'ein Anachnu Bechavnim, B'shiluchay El Ritzon Hashem. You shouldn't think that we're sending it out, La'azazel, to the Koiches Atumah, we're actually still considering this a carbon of Hashem. K'moysha Amar Yomer Chai Lefnei Hashem L'chapar Olav L'shalach Oysoi. So that definitely sounds like it has to remain in the Azara. The Shita Mekubetzis increases that Yudalan Rav Aleph in the Hashmotis. Ois Yud Beis also asks the question why, when the Mishaleach becomes Tummy, it says Mishalcha B'tumah. He says, why don't we take the Soir outside the Azara and let the Mishaleach come there? Why does he have to come into the Azara and be Mitami the Azara? And the Shita Mekubetzis answers that you have to send him Milifnei Hashem, which is from the Azara. So you see that you need Shiluach from Lifnei Hashem. So it's quite mistaver to say that the entire time until you sent him away, he stayed in the Azara. So since he had to be in the Azara the whole time, and Lifnei Hashem is going on that, so why would it be Ro'oi to turn his face around and be mamed him keneged beis shiluchai? We just said that the Ha'amada has to be Lifnei Hashem, which means he has to face the Ma'ariv. Perhaps we could be mechalik between wherever it says Aloshen Ha'amada Lifnei Hashem and Yomad Chai Lifnei Hashem. Whenever it tells us that somebody has to be standing Lifnei Hashem, that we see from the Taras Kainim means they have to face the Ma'ariv, and so too when the two Seirim are being stood Lifnei Hashem, they have to be facing the Ma'ariv. Because Ha'amada Lifnei Hashem is in that surah. However, when it says after the Hagrola, Yamad Chai Lifnei Hashem, the Iker Kpeda is that it should remain alive in the Azara. Remaining alive in the Azara means that it's not really a Ha'amada Lifnei Hashem. It's a Yamad Chai Lifnei Hashem, a preserving, keeping it alive in the Azara, but it doesn't have to be facing because it's not a Ha'amada Lifnei Hashem. The Mishnah relates that Ben Kotin made 12 dad for the kiyar shloi hayloi ela shnayim va'afu asa muchni lakir. You also made a muchni lakir, which was a wheel that caused it to be put into the ground, in order that the mayim that's in the kiyar should not become pasul belina. Rashi says that if you wouldn't have done this, so then it would have become pasul belina lefisha kidsha bekli. V'loy kavoid kodshim hu, it's not covered for kodshim, lipasel mayim kedoshim. So Rashi is telling us that the whole problem that was being addressed al yidei this muchni was a problem of covered kodshim. Rabbi Sazalman Devin Ozel, in the end of Perek Gimel, Hilchas Beis HaBchira, he asks, why does Rashi say, because of covet of Kodshim? Rashi could have said much better. He could have said, because there's a din mishmeres. Just like there's a din in Truma that you have to preserve Truma, there's also a din in Kodshim that mishmeres Trumaisai tells me you have to preserve Kodshim as well. And so to make sure that it doesn't become tame, to make sure that it doesn't become pusel, you would have a din to do this, lowering it into the ground. Perhaps you can answer his question by saying as follows. When you would be meshakeh the kir into the ground, in the boir, what happened was that the kedusha of the water became bottle. That's what Rashi says in Zvachim Daf Chaf Med Aleph, according to the girsa of the Shittim Kubetzis over there. He says, Shle Yehe, Memav Nesolim Belino, Lefikach Meshakin Oisei Arvis Beborin, Sheyiu, Memav Mechubarim, Lemea Mayon, Ubatla Kedushasan. That's the girsa of the Shittim Kubetzis. We have a girsa Ubatla Linosan, but according to the girsa of the Shita, then Ubatla Kedushasan means they became no longer Kaddish. Now, there is a question as to whether when a person is mevatel kodshim, he's mevatel beroiv, is that a violation of the dimish meres? Take a look at the biggest parrots in Parshas Korach on the pasuk of mishmeres trumoisai. But one thing seems to be pashit, and that is, even if you'll tell me that a person is not over the dinim shemeres when he is mevatel it from being kadosh, nevertheless, to say that when a person has kodshim that are going to become pasul belina, and then his Eitzah is to go and make it no longer Kodshim, I don't think that that's considered a Kiyum of the Dinim Shmeres. The Dinim Shmeres is to preserve Kodshim and make sure that it remains B'kdushasei and remains Tahar. To take Kodshim that's going to become Pasul and to make it no longer Kodshim is not a Kiyum of Shmeres, because that's not guarding it, that's not preserving Kodshim, that's making it no longer Kodshim. So even if you tell me that I didn't violate the Dinim Shmeres, Al-Yidei being Mevatlef from being Kodshim, but to say that I was Mekayim the Dinim Shmeres, that would be a stretch. So that's why Rashi says you may not be Mekayim the Mishmeres, but it's not covet for Kachim to become Pasabalina. So there is a Kiyum of making sure that there's covet for Kachim. Kachim that remains Kachim and becomes Pasabalina is a Zilzil. So to use the Eitzah of putting it into the Bayer to make sure that it is no longer Kachim, that helps for the Indian of Bizayin. The Mishnah said that Hasgan Bimino Virosh Bez Av Bismoyloi. The Gemara brings down Amrab Yehuda Hamahalik Limin Rabbi Yarezabur, somebody who walks on the right side of his Rebbe, is an ignoramus. Oy Tanya, says the Gemara, Shloisha Shahim Halcha B'derech Harab Be'emtza Gadol B'Minoi V'Kat Mismoilus. You see that the Gadol does stand on the right side. So there are two kashas in Yehuda's memory, one from our Mishnah and one from the Braisa. Now, theoretically, we should be able to be mechalik between one person and two people, because both the Mishnah and the Braisa are talking about where there are two people on the side of the Rav, and so maybe over there, the Gadol stands on the right side, as opposed to in Rabbi Yehuda's Memra, there's only one person, so that one person is not supposed to stand Limin Rabbi. The reason the Meiri explains why you're not supposed to stand Limin Rabbi is because the Talmud needs to use his Yamin to be Meshamish the Rav. So if he's standing on his Rav's Yamin, he's not going to be able to be Meshamish him. So the Tzarosh actually asked this question, and he says that an Amoira is supposed to be Mefarish Dvarav. He's supposed to be explicit, he's supposed to explain himself. And if Rabbi Yehuda indeed holds that there's a difference between two people and one person, and he should have told us about it. It sounds from his memra like he holds there's no difference. In the Sefer Ben Yehoyada, he actually gives a different teretz. He says that the Gemara is being medayik from the Lashon of the Mishnah, because the Mishnah says, Hasgan b'minei v'rosh beis av b'smoiloi, and if, indeed, there is a difference between two people and one person, then it should have reversed the order. It should have said, Rosh beis av b'smoiloi v'hasgan b'minei. Because that would teach me that there's always a need for somebody to go to the smoil of the Rav. If there's only one person, then he goes to the left of the Rav. And if there are two people, so then you start with the Rosh Beis Av going to the smoil and the Skan going to the Yamin. So from the fact that it doesn't say Rosh Beis Av first, it says Haskan b'minu Rosh Beis Av m'smoilo, you see, not like the Memra of Rabbi Yehuda. The Meiri gives another teretz. He says that the Iker Kasha of the Gemara is from the Mashmos in our Mishnah and the Braisa, that the people that flanked the Kohen Gadol or the Rav in the Braisa were standing Beshava with him, exactly next to him, not moved back at all. And that means that there's included in the Memra of Rabbi Yehuda two things. Number one, that you're not supposed to stand on the Yamin, you should stand on the Smoil. But also, Amahalech Limin Rabbi Arezebur, because he's standing right next to him and he's showing that he's Shavu with him. You have to be removed back a little bit. We learned in the Mishnah that Hilni Hamalka made a Nevreshes Shel Zohav Al Pesach HaHecho. The Gemara brings down a Braisa that tells us, Tana B'shosh HaCham HaZerachas, at the time that the sun would shine, Nitzoytzis Yoytze Mimena, the rays of the sun would go out of this nevreshes, v'alkol yoydin sheigiyaz man kriyashma, and everybody would know that this man kriyashma came. Rashi explains, kiritanya mitzvasa im ha-netzachama, that the mitzvah to lay kriyashma is at the time of netzachama. And as the Gemara comes out, l'maskana, even though the anshe mishmer themselves would lay kriyashma earlier than netzachama, but this was meant for l'shar ama b'Yerushalayim. Toisvis in Dibur Maschil Amar Abaye asks Tema the Abaye Gufei Amar Perakama de Brachis. Abaye says in the first parak of Brachis leKriyashma kvasikin, that the halacha leInyan Kriyashma is like vasikin. The Amar Rabbi Yochanan of vasikin goymer noisa im hanetzachama. Vasikin used to finish Kriyashma with the netzachama. V'hainu koydem hanetz, they started earlier. Kidemash perak mishemesoi. Toisvis brings a Gemara in the third parak of Brachis that shows that the din is to lay Kriyashma before netzachama. That's why Balkeri, when he's toivel, it says im yoch. Then Yala V'Yikra, because he has to make sure to finish Krishma before Netzachama. And from the Shakvataya of the Gemara over there, it's Mavur that the Gemara is understanding the din of Vasikin to be finished before Netzachama, because the Gemara explains over there that that's going Lafi Vasikin. Furthermore, Tosfos asks, we know that we're not makbid to learn Kriyishma before Netzach Hamba. We are noyeg like Rabbi Yeshua, who says Ad Gimel Shoyz. And the question is, what are we soymich on? Even though Rabbi Yeshua says Ad Gimel Shoyz, and it says over there in Brachas that Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel halachik Rabbi Yeshua, but that's Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Abaya paskins le Kriyishma kvasikin. And Abaya is a later Amoyra, usually passing like a later Amoyra. So we should paskin that you need to learn Kriyishma kvasikin and finish it before Netzach Hamba. Tosfos answers that even Vasikin, the Shita of the Vasikin, who leaned Kriyishma before Netzach Hamba, they're also moided that the Iker Zman Kriyishma lasts until 3 hours into the day. And what Tosfos means is that the shear of Uvikumecha that determines when the Zman Kriyishma is, everybody, even the Vasikin, are moide that you have until 3 hours into the day, because people are still waking up. But there is a Hidur to lane it before Netzach Hamba. And when Abaya says L'Kriyishma Kvasikin, what it means to say is that you're supposed to be Ma'acher Kriyishma, wait to learn Kriyishma until close to Netzach Hamba, so that you could do Kvasikin and be Soymech Geula Litvila, meaning to learn Kriyishma close enough so that your Shmona Esrei will be next to Goal Yisrael, because there's an inyan to be Soymech Geula Litvila. So Me'ikar Adin, the Zman Kriyishma begins Ka'acherim, which is much earlier than Netzach Hamba. It ends by 3 hours, like the Shita of Rabbi Yeshua. And the Hidr of Vasikin, which Abaya tells us to be Noyig-like, is to wait. Don't lay it Ka'acherim right in the earlier part, before Netzach Hamba. Wait until close to Netzach Hamba, and don't lay it later. Lay it close enough to Netzach Hamba so that you could say Tefillah at the earliest possible moment and be Soymechet to Geula. So what Tosfos says is that our Gemara, which says L'shar Amar de Yerushalayim, that the Mivreshes was a siman for everybody to learn Kriyishma, that was still a fulfillment of the Ikar Halacha, because really you have until 3 hours into the day. It is also somewhat of a kiyum to make it earlier. Of course, it will not be a complete kiyum of Abaya's Eitza to be makdimit before Netzach Hamba, so that your sim gu'ul l'tfila, but nevertheless, it was the simplest way to have people be makdimit as much as we could have them be makdimit, because it had the simen of the Nevreshes. So that answers both questions. The first question that Tosfos had asked was that the psak of Abaya is kivasikin, and they were mechicht of a sikin, used to finish it by Netzach Hamba. And over here in Har Gemara, we learned the L'shar Amar b'Yerushalayim, they began learning Kriyishma v'Sikin. The answer is that even Abaya is moida that you do not have to finish it by Netzach Hamba, because even the V'Sikin are moida that you have until 3 hours. And that answers the second question, what are we soymechan that we actually wait until 3 hours? That's because Me'ikar Adin, you have the right to wait 3 hours. However, the Rabbeinu Tam, Tosfos brings down, gives a different teretz, and that is that Lo'oilam, the Zman of Kriyishma Abaya holds, is starts by Netzach Hamba, just like you see in our Gemara. That is the Ikrizman, that is the Zman itself. You're supposed to start with Netzach Hamba. The fact that the Vasikin used to be Makdim before Netzach Hamba was because of their Chavivas HaMitzvah, and they were doing Shaloi Kedin. And when Abaya says L'Kriyishma K'Vasikin, he does not mean that you're supposed to be knowing that aspect of the Vasikin, meaning to finish it by Netzach Hamba. He means that Netzach Hamba is the time to learn Kriyishma. Don't be knowing fully like the Vasikin, who made sure to finish it by Netzach Hamba, because that was Shalai Kedin, but you should be Makdim and learn it at the time of Netzach Hamba. Now, it could be medayik from Rashi that he holds like the Rabbeinu Tam. Number one, Rashi in Dibra Maschul Shehigia, he brings the Braisa of Mitzvasa Im HaNetzach Hamba, which sounds like Rashi understands that the words Mitzvasa Im HaNetzach Hamba are fulfilled in our Gemara when they started to lay in Kriyishma after Netzach Hamba. So that means Mitzvasa Im HaNetzach Hamba is like the Rabbeinu Tam, that the mitzvah is to lay in it when Netzach Hamba comes and not prior to Netzach Hamba. Also, the Lashon of Rashi in Shabbos, Daf Kuf Yudal Ramabez, Dibra Maschul Kira Amar Abaya, Rashi says that the Siman of the Nevreshes was Sheyikru Kriyashma Be'oinosa, in its time. According to the Ri, there was no kiyum of laying Kriyashma Be'oinosa. There was a Hidr to be Makdimit, but it wasn't Kriyashma Be'oinosa. Mashenkin, according to Rabbeinu Tam, that's exactly when they would lay in Kriyashma, was Be'oinosa, because this man was immediately following Netzach Hamba. There does seem to be a stira in the Das of Rabbeinu Hanano, because Tosfos over here in the end of our Tosfos, Dibur Maschil Amar Abaye, brings b'shem the Rabbeinu Hanano that he holds like the Rabbeinu Tam, that this man is after Netzachama. And he explains the words Vasikin Goymrin Oysa Imen Netzachama. He goes so far as to say those words Goymrin Oysa Imen Netzachama does not mean to finish Kriya Shema with Netzachama, like the Shita of the Ri. Rather, Goymrin Oysa Imen Netzachama means Koyrin Oysa Imen Netzachama. However, if you look at the Lashon of Ben Hananel in our sugya, he says, "V'yoydin ha'am sheb'Yerushalayim havasikin shezu oinas gemiras kriyashma." So it sounds like there was akpada to finish kriyashma at this time. Unless we say that the Rabbeinu Hananel, when he uses the words Gemiras Kriyashma, it means the way that Tosis explains Bedas Rabbeinu Hananel, that the word Gemira means Kriyashma, Amiras Kriyashma. It's a little uncomfortable to say that way. So it's Tzarech Iyam Bedas Rabbeinu Hananel. The Mishnah told us that Hilni Amalka also made a tavla, a tablet on which it was written the Parshas Soita, so that when they wanted to write the Parshas Soita to erase it, and the Mayim HaMorim, in the Beis HaMikdash, they wouldn't have to bring a Sefer Torah and copy the Parshas Soita. They were able to write it and copy it from the Tavla. The Gemara says, Shamet mina koisfin megillah latinoik lehislamid bo. This is a machloikis tanoim in Gittin daf Samach Amud Aleph, whether you're allowed to write, even on a klaf, a chelik of the Torah, in order that a katan should be able to learn from it. And that's what the Gemara is saying, that if you're not allowed to, then how were they allowed to write a portion of the Torah on a tavla? In the Shulchan Aruch, Yeridaya, Simen Resh Pei Gimel, Sif Beis, he paskins that it's usser to write a Megillah by itself that has parshas of the Torah, and it's also usser to write a Megillah Latinic L'Islamid. And this comes from the Rambam, who says in Perek Zayin, Hilchos Sefer Torah, that you're not allowed to. However, the Taz and the Shach bring Das Most Rishonim, who say that it's mutter because Esel Asat Lashem, just like you're allowed to print Chumashim nowadays. Because since people do not have readily available chumashim, they're going to come to Bittul, Torah, and Tefillah, and therefore they were matir. Now the truth is that according to the Madi Yamar, who says, Ein kais v'megil latinik l'islamid ba, we understand the makar for the mitzvah of ksiva sefer Torah. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Chaf Alf Mebeis, brings down the din that you have to write a sefer Torah. Amar Rabba, afal pishe nicholoi la'odam avoysav sefer Torah, mitzvah lichtoiv mishaloi. He has a mitzvah to write a sefer Torah, mimashe nemar, va'ata kisvu lochem es ashira azois. The Torah says, you're supposed to write this shira. Now how do we know that this shira means the whole Torah? It really doesn't. The Rambam, in Hilchos Sefer Torah, Perek Zayin, Halacha Aleph, says that the pshat in the pasuk is, Kisfu lechem es kol ha-Torah, kidei sheyia kosev ba shiras hazinu. Es ha-shiras hazinu is going on shiras hazinu. However, says the Rambam, that since it's usher to write the Torah parshias parshias, so it's impossible to write the parshias hazinu all by itself, and therefore niklal in the Torah's tzivui of Kisfu lechem es ha-shiras hazinu, which goes on Azinu, is to write the entire Torah. So that's very good according to the Mandi Yamar, who says that Ein Kais V'Megil Latinik L'Islamid Ba. But if you hold that you're allowed to write the Torah in separate parshias, you're allowed to write a Megil Latinik L'Islamid Ba, how do we Bechlal know that there's a mitzvah to write the whole Sefer Torah? This is a kasha that the Gvuras Ari asks. He leaves it at Tzarchi and he doesn't answer the question. Now that's his kasha in our sugya. In the Shagas Arya in Simon Lamadalad, he asks further. He says, even if you hold Ein Kais Finis HaTorah, Parshias, Parshias, it's still mutter to write the entire Chumash from Chamish Chumshei Torah. So why don't we say that you have a mitzvah only to write Sefer Dvarim? How do we know that there's a mitzvah to write the whole Sefer Torah? And the Chsam Sefer, in Chelik Yeredeyes, Simen Reish Nun Dalet, asks as well that how do we know there's a mitzvah to write the whole Sefer Torah? Maybe it's the same exact thing as tefillin and mezuzahs and parshas Soita, where the Torah gave a special heter to write a special parsha, even though Ein Kais Finis HaTorah parshas parshas. But here, if the kavanah of the Torah is to write this parsha, to write the shira, so then the Torah was just telling you to write that shira. Why does it tell me that you have to write the entire Sefer Torah? In the Sefer Nesiv Meir, he gives a very nice teretz. He says that even according to the Madi Yamar, who says, Kois fin Megil Latinik L'Islamid Ba, but it does not have Kedusha Sefer Torah. And even though you're allowed to write an entire Chumash, that also will not have Kedusha Sefer Torah. And that the Rambam says, Beferish, Mutter Lichtev Kol Chumash V'Chumash B'Fnei Atzmai, V'Emem Kedusha Sefer Torah. He therefore says that since the Torah said Va'ata kisfu lachem es ashira hazois, the Rambam understood that the Kavanas HaTorah was that there should be Kedushas Shira on the Parshas Hazinu. And in order for it to get the Kedushas Shira, you need to have Kedushas Sefer Torah. If you would write it by itself, even according to the Man Yomar, that you could write a Parshas Shabbatorah by itself, the Islamid, it still will not have Kedusha. It will not have Kedushas Shira. And even a Chumash, an entire Chumash, will not get Kedushas Sefer Torah, and therefore it's not going to have Kedushas Shira. And so that answers both of the Shagas Aryeh's questions, both the Kasha from the Man Yomar that you could write a parsha l'Islamit, and from the kasha that he asked in the Shagas Aryeh on Chumash. And the answer is the kasha of Chassam Sofer as well, because even though it's true that we're told we could write Tefillin, Mezuzas, Megillah Sota, but they do not have Kedusha Sefer Torah on them. And that's true even l'Halacha. He brings down the Sefer Avodah Zarah that says that it's also to write Tefillin on cloth that was Mu'ubid for a Sefer Torah, because you're going down from a Kedusha Chamura to a Kedusha Kala. Since it was Mu'ubid for the purposes of a Sefer Torah, you're now using it for something that has less Kedusha than a Sefer Torah. Rabbi Kivager brings this down in the Tshuvas and Simon Gimel. Even though he says that the Beis Yosef argues on this in Simon Lamed Beis, he says that you're allowed to take cloth that was Mu'ubid L'Shem Sefer Torah and you could write Tefillin on it. Nevertheless, he's still moided that the Kedusha Sefer Torah is more Chomer than the Kedusha of Tefillin. It's just that he holds that the din of being moirid from Kedusha Chamura to Kedusha Kala doesn't apply at that stage when you were only ma'abed the ur for that purpose. It only applies at a later stage. But the fact that the Kedusha of a Sefer Torah is greater than the Kedusha of Tefillin, that everybody agrees to. Therefore, he says that the Tefillin and the mezuzahs that we have don't have on them Kedusha Sefer Torah, and that's why they wouldn't be a raya to the idea of Shiras Hazinu, because it may be true that without writing the whole Sefer Torah, it would be possible to write the Parsha, the Shira Sazinu, but it wouldn't have a Din Shira, and the Torah was Mitzaveh, Kisvah Lechem Es HaShira Hazois. According to the Nesiv Meir, we could be Poshet, a Shaila that the Shagas Aryeh himself asks, in Simen Lamed Dalet. The Shagas Aryeh brings down the Rambam, and he declares a Chakira. He says, what is the Pshat in the Rambam? Is the Pshat that the Iker Kpeda of the Torah is that you should write the Shira by itself? It's just that there's a technicality. If you don't write the rest of the Torah, then it's impossible to write the Shira by itself, and therefore we were mechayev you to write the entire Torah from beginning to end. Or he says, since you can't write the Torah Parshias Parshias, and the Torah said to you, Kisvu Lechem Es HaShira, Al Karchach, the Torah's intention was that you should write the whole Torah, and that was the Tzivui. It's as if the Torah said, Va'ata Kisvu Lechem HaTorah Sheyesh Ba Shira Zu, and therefore the Hakpada is that you should write the entire Torah. What's the Nafgamina? He gives two Nafgaminas. He says, let's say somebody wrote the entire Torah, and it got worn out, or it got torn, and the only thing that's left is the Shira. He says, according to the first Tzad, that the Iker Akpada was that you should write the Shira, you were Yoytze Yerchiev. But if the Iker Akpada was that you should write the entire Torah, once it got worn out, you don't have a whole Sefer Torah, and you're not Mekayim the Mitzvah anymore. His second Nafgamina is that if, let's say, the person was over on the din of Ein Koisfin as a Torah Parshias Parshias, and he wrote the Shira by itself. According to the first Tzad, says the Shagas Aryeh, you're a Yoytze Yerchiv, because the Akpad of the Torah was to write the Shira. There's a technicality that you can't do that without writing the rest of the Torah, but let's say somebody was over on that technicality, Lemaisa, he did what the Torah told him to do, he wrote the Shira. However, according to the second Tzad, the Tzivui of the Torah was, write the entire Sefer Torah. It's just the way we told it to you was by saying Kisvah, but the intention was write the entire Torah that has this Shira in it. So you weren't Mekayim Yerchiv if you wrote it only the Shira itself. Now, according to what we just learned in the Nesiv Meir, neither of these two Nafkaminas would be true, because whether the Chiv of the Torah was Ata Kisvu Lechem Es HaTorah Sheyesh Ba Shira Hazois, or the Tzivui was, I want you to write the Shira alone, but he says even the Tzivui to write the Shira was a Tzivui to write something that has Kedushas Shira. And to have Kedushas Shira, you have to have Kedushas Sefer Torah. So if a person were to be over the din of writing Parshas Parshas and would just write the Shira, it wouldn't have Kedushas Sefer Torah. So you wouldn't be mekayim the mitzvah. Even if you tell me that the ikar akpada was that you should write the shira, but the shira has to have kedusha sefer Torah. And so too, if the person had a sefer Torah, but it got worn out or it got torn, and all that's left is the shira, you're also not mekayim the mitzvah because you don't have a sefer Torah, and it's not going to have kedusha shira. The Shagas Aryeh himself, who clears this question, that's because the Shagas Aryeh does not learn like the Nesiv Meir. And you see that from the fact that he asks his question over here in the Gevuras Ari, that why can't you just write the Shira itself, Lefi the Man D'Yomer, that you could be Koitzvin, Parshias, Parshias. He obviously doesn't learn that it has to have Kedushas Shira. He learns that if the Tzivui was just to write the Shira, then it would be okay just to write the Shira just like you have Tefillin and Mezuzahs. So the Gemara answers the raya that we brought, that you could write a Megillah liturgically Islamic, but the Gemara says there's no raya, because the Tavla that was written in Beis HaMikdash was Ba'alef Beis. It wasn't written out in longhand, it was written in a shorthand, Oysias Shel Rosh HaYatevis, Rashi says. The Gemara brings a braisa that says, K'shu Koisiv, Roya V'Koisiv, Mashakosiv B'Tavla. And the Gemara answers that you wrote Kima Shekasa B'Tavla. Then the Gemara brings another Braisa that says, Kishu Koisiv, Roya V'Koisiv, Mashekasa B'Tavla, Uma Kasa B'Tavla, Imshachav Ish Oisach. So you see that it was actually written, the words themselves were written, and it wasn't just Barosh Yatevis. The Gemara says, Hasam B'Seirugin, which Rashi explains to mean that they first wrote Imloy Shachav, but then they would continue with Rosh Yatevis. They would write the words from the next Pasuk, Va'at Ki Sotis, and then they would write Rosh Yatevis till the end of that Pasuk. Yiten Hashem Oysach, and then Rosh Yatevis till the end of the Pasuk, and so on. The Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnayos in Soita, Daf Yitzayin Amud Aleph, explains differently. He says that they would write the whole Parsha out. But when we say B'Seirugim, what it means is they didn't write it all in one row. They would write one word, and underneath it, another word, and so on. Now, it could be that the reason why the Rambam does not want to learn like Rashi, even though the word B'Seirugim sounds like what Rashi's saying, because you're skipping words, you're writing just in Rosh Yatevis. According to the Rambam, you're not really skipping any words, you're just writing one line after another. Why does the Rambam explain the way he does? It could be because of Tosis's Kasha. Tosis over here, in Dibur Maschil B'Seirugim, asks a Kasha. Hoda Amar B'Perek Sheni de Megillah Osir Lichtoiv Afilo Ois Achas Shaloi Min Aksav. You're not allowed to write even one letter Shaloi Min Aksav. So Tosfos is bothered that if it's written B'Seirugin, how do you have the right to write from that Tavla? You're writing Shalom and Aksav because it's not written out fully. Tosfos answers, Kivin dechsivi Rosh Tevis, v'Rosh Psukim, v'oid shi parshak tana shari. Since it's written at least in Rosh Tevis and Rosh Psukim, and also it's a parshak tana, Tosfos says that it's mutter. Kirisharin and Hossam, just like the Gemara says over there, that tefillin and mezuzahs is mutter mishum de migris grisen. Everybody knows them fluently, and therefore there's no din that has to be written in aksav. So too over here, you have all the elements that you need as if it was fluent, because it's written in Rosh Tevis, so you have something to remind you of it. It's a short enough parsha, so we look at it as if you're fluent, and therefore you don't have to write it in aksav. However, it could be that the Rambam holds that that would not be enough. You have to write it min aksav. And therefore, the only way to explain the inyan of Seirugin is to say that it was written out fully. And when you wrote it from the Tavla, you wrote it min aksav, because the whole thing was written out. It's just that it was written in a different way. It was written one line after another. Now, the reason why the Rambam doesn't want to accept Tosfos' Teretz is because there is a big problem. It may be true that tefillin and mezuzahs, you don't have to write them in Terech Eksav, because like the Gemara says over there in Megillah, Migris Grisin, people know it fluently. However, it's also mavur in the Gemara over there, that big Talmid HaChamim, even if they're Baki B'Kola Terekula, unless it's Shas Adchak, like in the case of Reb Meir, that he came to a place and he didn't find the Megillah, then you're not allowed to write it, unless it's Terech Eksav. You can't write it Baal Peh. Now the question is, why not? If all you need is Migris Grisin, and like you see, that tefillin and mezuzahs you can write because migris grisin, then why wouldn't we say the same thing by a Talmud Chacham that knows Kol HaTorah Kula? He's just as fluent as many people who know tefillin and mezuzahs, the Parshas Kriyat Shema. And yet we don't allow him to write it, Shalom Yitech Eksav. So the Rambam understands from this that the point is not that you're fluent in something. Of course, Talmud Chacham is just as fluent as many people who are fluent in the Parsha of Kriyat Shema. Yet we don't allow him to write Shalom Yitech Eksav because there's a din, there's a halacha that the ksiv has to be Yitech Eksav. From many of the Paiskim in Arachayim, Simon Lamed Beis, it's mashma that they understand this to be part of the din of Dvarim Shebiksav, Iyata Rashoy Lo Imram Al Peh. Just like there's halacha that Dvarim Shebiksav, you're not allowed to recite them by heart, you're also not allowed to write them down, Shaloy Mutechiksav. Because a person expresses himself through writing as well. So if it's Asr Lo Imram Al Peh, you're also not allowed to write them Al Peh. However, things that are Migris Gris in everybody, it's Shagar Bafi Koil, that doesn't have a din of Dvarim Shebiksav. As is Mavur in the Tur, Simon Mem Tes, he says, Afagav the Kaimel and Dvarim Shebiksav Yata Rashoy Lo Imram Al Peh, but nevertheless, Kosav Doidi Arav Rabbi Chaim Zal Koldover Sheragul, Vishagar Bafi Koil, Aimba Mishim Dvarim Shebiksav Yata Rashoy Lo Imram Al Peh. Things that are shogur b'fi koil does not have this din. They only answered saying things that are not shogur b'fi koil. Things that are shogur b'fi koil doesn't have a din of dorm shebiksav because it's part of our collective memory. And if you take a look at the Daki Moshe over there in Simon Memtes, Sivkot and Beis, he says, V'kosabar is a ruah hilchus tefillin. Im einoi shogur b'fi koil, afagav de shogur b'piv, osir lo imre al peh. So we know that the rule of Dvarim Shebiksav Yata Rashoy Lo Imram Bal Peh does not cover things that are Shogar B'fi Koil and does cover things that the person himself is fluent in. Even though he is fluent in those things, he's still not allowed to say them Bal Peh because it's called Dvarim Shebiksav even Klape Him. So if you understand that the Gemara in Megillah that says that you have to write Mitech Eksav is really parallel to that din, the reason why you're not allowed to write Mitech Eksav is because it has a din of Dvarim Shebiksav Yata Rashoy Lo Imram Al Peh. And just like you're not allowed to be Imram Al Peh, you're also not allowed to write them Al Peh. Then we understand the difference in the Gemara over there between things that are Migris Grisin and Talmid Chachamim that are Baki B'Kol HaTorah. That it's only B'Shas HaTchak they're allowed to write it. But if it wasn't B'Shas HaTchak, they're not allowed to write it because it still has a din of Dvarim Shebiksav, and it's governed by the rule of Dvarim Shebiksav Yata Rashoy Lo Imram Bal Peh. If that's the way you understand that Gemara, then we can understand very clearly why the Rambam would not want to accept Tosfos's Teretz. Because even if there were Roshei Tevis that were written on the Tavla, even if it was a short parsha and it was easy to remember, but we can't say that it's something that was Shogar B'fi Koil, and therefore is governed by the rule of Dvarim Shebiksav Yata Rashoy Lo Imram Bal Peh, and you cannot write it Shaloi Mitech Eksav. However, Tosfos must have understood the Gemara Megillah differently. Tosfos didn't understand that the difference between Migris Grisi and Talmid Chachamim that are Baki in Kol HaTorah is because Migris Grisi doesn't have the problem of Dvarim Shebiksav Yata Rashoy Lo Imram Bal Peh. It could be that Tosfos understood that it's a practical difference. Things that are Shogar B'fi Koil, we're confident that the person is going to remember. Things that are not Shogar B'fi Koil, we always have a chash that the person is going to forget, and therefore we tell them that there's still takana, you have to write it mitoich ksav, because we're afraid that the ksav is going to come out not proper. However, says Tosfos, if you have Roshei Tevis written, and it's a small parsha, it's very easy to remember, then we're confident that the person is going to remember it. So the machloikis Tosfos and the Rambam could be rooted in how to learn the Gemara Megillah, why there's a difference between things that are Shogar B'fi Koil and things that are not Shogar B'fi Koil, but that person himself is fluent in them.
You have been listening to the Shiurim of Shas Illuminated. Shas Illuminated is a non-profit organization dedicated to broadening the learning of those studying the Daf worldwide. If you would like to make a donation or to dedicate a Daf or Masechta, please visit our website at shasilluminated.org or call 203-312-SHAS. You can also email us at shasilluminated@gmail.com.